Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Monday, the 27th of April, 2020. She's back again. Same morning.
Good morning.
Can't get rid of her. Can't get rid of her now. I think this could be it going forward. Wait till the football comes back. She'll be bored of it then.
I definitely will. Let's have a look at over. I'm only interested in the baking.
Let's have a look at the over two and halves. There won't be any of that involved. Boris is back to work. Didn't really say much, did he? Just told us to keep calm and carry on. Unveil some plans later this week. Right, Sammy, what are you doing today?
Anzac biscuits is one recipe I have for you.
Anzac biscuits. This Anzac Day on Saturday, Australia and New Zealand Day.
They are supposed to have been sort of invented for World War One and sent to soldiers because they kept for a long time.
Oh, right.
I didn't spoil. So that's but
say not just recipes, history.
Well, it's supposed to be. You can Google
it. Just tell them it is.
Okay. Will they believe me?
Well, in this day and age, as we said, you can have your own facts now. So we just create facts. That's what everybody else does. We'll crack on as well.
Okay. So do you want the recipe or not?
Oh, flipping dearie me. Anzac biscuits. Hang on. No, before we do.
Okay.
We'll do that in a minute.
Okay.
I want this funny story of the shop. Sam's going to tell a funny story when she was working in a shop about... She was about 30, so it's years ago, black and white TV.
Careful now. You may not see 50.
So she's working in a shop. Go on.
Yes, I was at one of those step ladders because being short, I couldn't reach the shop fittings to move the shirts around. People would untidy them. And we had quite a big shop front that opened out, and two young lads went past and looked in the window and stopped. And as I'm up the ladder, so this waft of aftershave hit me and nearly knocked me off the top of it. So I said to them, looking down on these two lads, they were only, 12, I guess. And I said to them, which one of you has stepped in a bottle of aftershave? The little one says to the other one, see, I told you, even that old lady said so.
There you go, even that old lady. See, there you go.
So I guess they were out trying to
pull the ladies, a bit like myself when I was young. A little bit of Old Spice and off you go.
Well, I think it might have knocked them out, the smell of them.
Well, those of you with teenage kids, be careful if the old aftershave starts coming out.
I don't know whether I would have been able to walk or not with the red chair that Graham Norton does with that story, but...
No, you'd have been off. I don't know. I don't watch him, but what does he do?
I know you don't watch him. I know you don't like him.
Yeah, but what do you do? What does he do?
He tips you back and you've shamed, chair shamed, basically.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, okay. Nonsense. Anzac biscuits.
Yes.
This is another one I make with the kids. Very tasty, these are.
Yeah. And you can add other stuff in them if you wanted to, like your favourite ingredients.
It's good with the sound effects of Winston chewing his bone, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's keeping him quiet. He's not digging the garden up, at least.
Right, let's go.
Right, 85 grams of porridge oats, 85 grams of desiccated coconut, 100 grams of flour, 100 grams of caster sugar, 100 grams of butter, plus a little extra for the spraying on the tin. And one tablespoon of golden syrup and 1 teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda. So you need to heat the oven up to 180 degrees centigrade, 160 fan or gas mark 4. You put the oats, coconut flour and sugar in a bowl. You melt the butter in a small pan and stir in the syrup. In a separate little bowl, you want to add the bicarbonate of soda to 2 tablespoons of boiling water and then stir that into the butter and syrup mix, which makes it a little bit foamy. Make a well in the middle of the dry ingredients. Pour the butter and syrup mixture in and stir and make sure it's all combined. And then you just put dessert spoonfuls on the tray, leaving a bit of a gap, about 2.5 centimetres, because they'll just flatten and You don't want them really going into each other, so leave plenty of gap on the tray for them. And they take about 8 to 10 minutes to cook. If you want them crispier and crunchier, you can do them a bit longer. And then once they've cooled down on the tray, you can put them on a wire rack to cool completely.
And job done. Cup of tea, Anzac biscuits.
Yeah, they are really, really, really nice.
Yeah, they are tasty, yeah.
And there's no sultanas in them.
No, no. Poor old bet engine Alistair, who has been taking the mickey out of Sam's accent, called her Pam Ayres on day one, then pulled her up for sultanas yesterday. Bless you, Alistair. His wife fell over and broke her leg yesterday. So, thinking of you, mate. Not an ideal time for things like that to happen. I mean, there's never a good time, but horrendous when your sort of daily walks and things are about all we've got. So, best wishes to
your... sending our love.
Yeah, best wishes to your wife, Alistair, and I hope things pick up. Right, is that it? You done?
No.
No?
I'm going to do Mary Berry's chocolate brownie.
Oh, right, okay. Well, we didn't mention that at the start, did we? Got to tell them what's coming. They get all excited. They might have tuned out now and gone off to make the biscuits.
Well, that's their loss then. See, you've got to keep them listening. That's the point of it.
I never
You've got to keep a bit of mystery there. Goodness me.
Flipping,
how do you think I've had many years here.
Look at this flipping.
Oh, my days.
Right, let's get on. What is it?
This is...
These are good. Yeah, these are good. These are naughty, though.
Do you talk yourself out of stuff, you? Are you in or you're out? Well, do you want me to or not?
When you're an athlete, George Clooney, like, you can't stuff yourself with this stuff.
Just let me have the mic for 5 minutes and you can have it back, okay?
Crack on then.
Right, Mary Berry's chocolate brownie. You want 275 grams of butter softened, so obviously not hard out the fridge. 375 grams of caster sugar. Oh my God, what a lot of sugar. 4 large eggs, 75 grams of cocoa powder, 100 grams of self-raising flour, and 100 grams of plain chocolate chips. And you'll need sort of a tray bakey type brownie tin to cook it in. So the measurements are 30 by 23 by 4 centimetres for those of metric people. So you need to preheat the oven 180 degrees. Celsius, fan 160, gas mark 4. You line the tin and then you chuck all the ingredients into a big bowl and mix until it's all evenly blended. You put the mixture into the tin.
Is that mix handheld electric?
Well, hand
electric. Yeah. Can you do it by hand?
No.
Spoon?
No, it'll take forever.
They need a mixer, right?
Yeah, okay. You do really.
Right,
yeah. Mixer. I mean, somebody that's doing a workout might want to do it by hand, but right. It will take a long time.
Hey, Dio, bin the old weight, son. Get mixing the brownie mix. There you are, my old mucker.
Right, so then you put it into the oven and bake for 40 to 45 minutes. They should have a nice crusty top and still be a little bit gooey in the centre.
Yeah.
Not too gooey, though.
I do like a chocolate brownie, bit of vanilla ice cream.
And then you can cut it into 24 squares. And what I do also, when I take it into the centre, is I've got 100 grams of bag of the white chocolate chips, and when it comes out the oven, I chuck them on top, and they all melt. Lovely.
Yeah.
So you've got a triple chocolate one.
So for as well as the 300 tonnes of sugar in it,
you can have some more.
You throw a bit more on.
Yeah, ideal.
It's amazing how I've stayed like an athlete.
Well,
right, my good people.
That's
right.
Your opinion.
I'm going to do a proper food recipe in a minute as well, all this baking stuff. We're going to have a proper dinner.
I'm going off to FaceTime my sister.
Right, you go and FaceTime your sister.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Have a good day.
See you later.
Bye.
Flipping dearie me. I'll do the recipe in a minute. Can't have cooking all day long. Right, where are we at? Right, I'm going to try over the next few days. It won't be all today, but over the next few days. Dio asked me a very decent question yesterday about the Poisson. Why did I only mention those two leagues? And why doesn't it work on all other leagues? And it was my birthday. I wasn't going to bother going into it then. But two of the sort of things that people want. One is how far back do you go? So the Poisson that I run all my stuff over multiple time periods. So I've, for example, I've got one sheet that I run over 50 games, one I run over 20 games, one I, and I run the same process, exactly the same process, but over three different time spans. My Poisson, I've got the one that the members have, which is run just on current season and doesn't start till 8 games have been played, which basically factors in the answer to Lord Dio, but I'll cover that more tomorrow. And I run everything, as I say. So I've got a picture, because at some stage going back so far becomes pointless. So a lot of people you'll see they use Poisson, but you don't actually know how do they, how many games is in there when they're coming up with their base figure, how many games are coming back. And when you look at it, it's not based on predicting both teams to score or predict. Poisson's based on predicting independently the two teams scoring goals. You put them together to make a score, and it tells you the likelihood of that score. And then I grid it, so I've got up to 10-10, so it gives me a percentage for each possible score from 0-0 to 10-10 in that game based on the independent events of, say, Tottenham playing Burnley. So what is the percentage chance of Tottenham scoring 2 goals? What is the percentage chance of Burnley scoring 1 goal? And you can ask it all that. What is it for 0-0? What is it? In effect then, for example, if you wanted the price of the draw, from that 0-0 to 10-10 scorelines I've got, I add up all the percentages of the draw. So 0-0, 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, whatever it gives them, I add them up. They may add up to 12% in total. I can then convert that into an odds, 100 divided by 12. And create my odds. So the Poisson odds for the draw would be 100 divided by 12 as a decimal. So that in essence is how it works. So it's predicting. Now obviously in different leagues you need it's done against a league average. One of the calculations is a base league average of how many goals the home team are scoring, how many they're letting in, and how many the away teams are scoring and how many they're letting in. And then teams perform above or below that average. So Arsenal, the league average may be 2.0 for home goals scored, but Arsenal might be scoring 2.5, where Burnley might be scoring 1.6. So Burnley a 0.4 below the average, Arsenal a 0.5 above it. Try not to make it too complicated. Basically, you run that then, and I'll talk a bit more about this tomorrow, but you get different... how many games do you run it to get that base league average and to get the figures for the team? So if you've got a base league average over 20 games, then you want each team's figures over 20 games. Or do you do it current season, or do you go back 50 games? And that's one of the questions I get asked. How far do you go back? And I'll answer the question that Dio asked in more detail tomorrow about this current season and why it's only working in those leagues. But regarding the how far do you go back, I've got 3 or 4 options and I use all of them. So for some things I'll use a very short-term trend. You know, I'll use only 6 game. And for others I'll use a longer-term trend. Again, you know, I sort of say to people, you're not me now, you're back. Starting out, you pick one or two. You might, and I'll give you one of the ones I use, is a full season of home or away fixtures. So it will vary. So for the Premier League, I'll use 19 games because teams play 19 home games in a season. So on a rolling basis, so I will roll back into Tottenham's home games last season. Tottenham aren't the greatest, obviously, example because they were played at Wembley for 2 years. But, Liverpool, you can roll back into. So 11 games of last season and 8 home games of this season, for an example. Belgium, it would only be 15. For Germany, 18, because there's less teams in the league. So that's one of the methods that I operate that rolls it back, in effect, a constant full season. But you've got to make a decision what you're going to pick. And my advice to most people is going back too far, invariably, and one of the things I'll talk about more tomorrow, it becomes pretty pointless, to be fair. You know, you look at not being funny, even a team like Liverpool. Look at Liverpool 3 or 4 years ago to Liverpool now. They pale into insignificance, the team, a while back, don't they? So going and looking and including data from that into now isn't really adding anything to the party, in my opinion. But, you know, when other people, I know there's other sites that work with things like Poisson, I don't know how far they go back. The second point of that, it isn't purely, I don't just purely say that's the Poisson figure, it's a bet. I take that figure as part of many processes that I run to move it in. But I do, you know, a lot of people say, oh, Poisson's a waste of time. Once you start collecting data, there is some very good elements in it. And it is and can be particularly good for strong prices where your Poisson figure that's coming out For getting anything at first, the Poisson figure that's coming out is a short price, so it's generating odds around 1.3, 1.4. There's different angles in match odds markets, both teams to score over 2.5 first half goal, where it's finding these strong prices based on the independent events of teams scoring goals. But I'll cover more of that tomorrow. But that's one of the things, is how far do you go back? Often get asked it, so I'll talk a bit about that this week. And as I've said, one of the examples I've given you is I do use a lot of rolling 19 or 18, depending on the league or whatever, fixtures. Another one is how do you know that something is stopping or continuing or gonna die, to not give up. It's obviously slightly harder to answer, but again, it's having the information beforehand. It's actually knowing what you're doing before just diving in. And unfortunately, most people have examples of betting systems that people have just said to them, do this. You don't then know whether they're being managed, you don't know whether they're being monitored, you don't know whether they're being looked at. Or are they just being sold for 30 quid a month to move you on? And if it starts tailing off, who cares? So you've got to take a bit of self-responsibility with this side of it, and put the homework in first. But there's methods that you can, things that you can use and links you can look for to see if, you know, you can't predict what the results will be, and we can't ever say for guarantee that something's going to last forever. But we can look at things. For example, simple one, let's say you are backing, as I've said, Man City over 2.5 goals and it's winning. If it keeps winning, the price on that is going to come down. Once you start seeing your average price that you're betting at drop, the likelihood is that you're losing the edge in it and it's going to struggle to keep going. So looking at average prices when you're looking at stuff like that over sets of games and saying, right, I bet that 10 games at an average price of that, but I bet that 10 games. When you're having the same bet, Man City home to most teams, the price isn't going to vary very much in things like over 2.5. Because if they play in a bottom team, it's expected that they'll blow them away. And if they're playing a top team, it's expected that there'll be goals anyway. You know, people still, you know, I've talked before about how Man City play Liverpool, people still think it's going to be a goal fest. Quite often, actually playing the other side of the market comes out. But you can look and basically build a picture of how the odds are going in that and see how it's going. But I'm going to try and cover some of that stuff, probably make a few videos over this next month on that sort of stuff. But keep the questions coming, because it does, not only it gets me thinking as well. I thought yesterday, I'll need to have a look at that actually, but I've got solid reasons that I'm happy with. I think there's always people who want to debate it and have a row about it or whatever. But as I always say, you do what you do, don't you? And that's, I'm always comfortable doing what I do and moving along and trying to ignore that sort of side. And the people who tell you can't do something, or you, the only way you can win is to do this. As I say, there's many ways to win, and we're all different. And we showed again, I mean, Belarus, I'm doing absolutely superb in. A league I'd never had a bet in up until about 4 weeks ago. So just shows you, when you put the work in and the numbers in, if you look at that side of it, forgetting where it is and who it is, you can make money and chug along. Right, what have I got moving in? Let's do the stat of the day. So stat of the day for Ultimate members, this one comes off the new league database. New league database, all leagues. I haven't taken any leagues out of that. Just the way it fell, you may want to filter the leagues. I haven't even bothered. Away teams less than 3 on the Friday price, so the Friday price that gets published on the sheet. Away teams that are less or equal 3 on Betfair, in all the leagues covered on that league, and with an away colour index for column AM of green. So less than 3 and away colour index of green. 2 simple filters. That is all it is. There is nothing else involved. Backing home is 49 points up and laying away is 54 points up. And obviously you're laying less than 3, so it's fairly low risk. Pretty consistent. I think it's won every season of the last 4. Nudging along, even if you wait in and backed them later, nearer kickoff, it still wins. if you back the home team. But so if you thought of Friday, there's not a lot of liquidity there. Even wait until kickoff time, it still wins okay. So there you go. So that is all leagues. Betfair price on a Friday, less than three on the Ultimate New League database, the seven leagues you've got there, with an away colour index in column AM of green. Wins 54 points laying that away team and 49 points back in the home team. Another little simple one for you. Obviously, you can dig around deeper and perhaps improve them numbers. Looking at leagues, as I say, maybe looking at the value figures, but that's just a little simple one. Obviously, these stats of the day, I'm not going to lie, we're struggling. I've done so many. If we got another month of it, I'll be digging deep. But the whole idea of all this, you know, everyone, even the Poisson, FDD, these, is to get you looking at things differently. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go and do that next week. It's a matter of, hopefully, well, I think they're all on the forum now, actually writing them all down, having a look, seeing what suits you, what you can do to tweak it, what are you going to do, trade or bet. All those sort of things need to go into it. Don't just think, oh, I'll write all these down and that'll make me a millionaire. Because the likelihood is that it won't. I can't even remember what ones we've done. That's half the problem. I'm looking at things thinking, oh, did I do that? That's my own bad. I think when I started this, I thought, oh, it would be 3 or 4 weeks. But we are pushing on, having to recruit the old lady in to do stuff. I think she's loving it, to be honest. I do think she's loving it. She had some lovely emails again. I think she's just absolutely given her a bit of lease of life in this time. So I make no excuses for it whatsoever. Right, I'm going to give you a proper recipe now. A little bit of chicken cordon bleu. Quick chicken cordon bleu. This is nothing fancy. This is a really quick meal that you can serve within half an hour. Really easy to make. You want some chicken breasts, you want some ham, slices of ham, whatever you want, honey roast or thin ham, whatever. Some Emmental cheese, you can buy that in slices, which is best. Buy a pack of slices of Emmental cheese. Some salt and pepper. You want some potatoes and you want some tomato relish. Do the potatoes first, chop them into wedges in a roasting pan, cover them in oil, salt, pepper, and a good splash of paprika. Mix it all around so you've got paprika cover in all the wedges. Get that in the oven. Going to take about 40 minutes. Potato wedges, just keep turning them every 10-15 minutes so they cook all around. With about 15 minutes, you can prepare the chicken. To prepare the chicken, get your breasts. You're going to cut them down the middle, cutting them in half. So sort of lay it flat and then you're going to cut into it halfway up so that you can fold it over. Don't cut right through it. You want to fold it over, fold it out so you've butterflied it in effect. Put a bit of cling film, put it in a bit of cling film, get a rolling pin or something similar and smack it out so you end up with a sort of flat butterfly chicken breast. Do that for however many you're using. Remove the cling film, salt and pepper the inside, layer of ham, couple of slices if you want. You can go ham, cheese, ham, or ham, cheese, however. Couple of slices of ham, Emmental cheese, fold it back over so you've got sort of a sandwich now of the chicken with the cheese and ham in the middle. Salt and pepper again on both the outsides, and then fry them in a pan, hot pan, get the oil hot, fry them in a pan. You just want to colour the sides, the two sides. So a couple of minutes one side, flip it over, couple of minutes the other side. Then put those in a little roasting tin and put them in the oven for about the last 10 or 15 minutes that the wedges are in. Move the wedges down a level, put those on the top just so it cooks through the middle, cooks, melts the cheese. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So when the wedges are done, chicken's done, just check it's not pink in the middle. Literally on the plate, wedges, chicken and a good old blob of tomato relish, and you have got a very simple and very healthy, less than 300 calories, chicken cordon bleu. There you go. Job done. Easy. None of this with the old breadcrumbs or all that. This is just a quick, simple one. Low in fat. Very healthy. Easy to make. Which at these times is easy. Simple, isn't it? Chicken breasts, bit of ham, bit of cheese. Job done. Who needs baking when you've got proper cooking? What else have we got? What else have we got today? Thank you all for... Have I said thank you for the birthday wishes? Thank you, everybody, for the birthday wishes. Had as good a day as possibly could. Jokes, I'm actually getting... No, a lot of your ones I've binned absolutely flipping rubbish. I'll give me own. Do me own. Guy's been going to the psychiatrist. He goes 1 week. He says, Doctor, my wife's being unfaithful to me. I've just found out. Every evening she goes to Larry's bar and picks up men. In fact, I found out she sleeps with anybody who asks her in there. I'm going crazy. What do you think I should do? Relax, says the psychiatrist. Sit down, take a deep breath, calm down. Now tell me exactly where is Larry's bar? Beautiful. Rolling in the aisles. I'm back. Bin your lot. Get me in there. This is it. When I've got the stage show, when the old FTS Bet Slip stage show comes out, when we're lockdowns out, I'm going to book a few theatres. We'll go and sell them out, do a few little gigs, 250 people a night. Be fantastic, all sorts. Talk gambling, talk stories, few jokes, maybe even a bit of singing. I could come out singing, couldn't I? A little bit, and end up with a bit of Frank Sinatra my way at the end. What else we got? Life-changing, the book of the day. This is a good book. It's just interesting, fascinating book. This is by, I think the guy was on University Challenge. I don't know if that's right, but I'm going to go for it. I think that's how he found his fame, but he's called Bobby Seagull. I wonder if he's a Brighton fan. Bobby Seagull, The Life-Changing Magic of Numbers. And how basically it's a book about numbers and maths and how it features in many different things you wouldn't even consider. My boy got me this a couple of Christmases ago. It's just how numbers feature in our lives and a lot of stories of his. I think even kids could read this. I don't think it's something that even kids could read. It's just interesting. Yeah, just something I found fascinating, really. So, a really good read. There you go. So, The Life-Changing Magic of Numbers by Bobby Seagull. Rather than watching Graham Norton, read something decent. Old Georgie, what did she do? She just posted a link to a newspaper article on... posted a link to a newspaper article to the Evening Standard. So all of a sudden we went from government advice to that. Didn't apologise, said, I know it's not government advice, I can read. Well, why were you telling everybody if government advice was that beforehand? Absolutely pathetic. And then Peston this morning, what was the point of Boris's... what was the point of Boris's 9 a.m. broadcast to the public? Well, if he hadn't done it, Robert... then you'd have been saying, why isn't he coming out speaking? He's becoming a complete and utter bell in that guy, that Peston. Honestly, I used to think he wasn't too bad, but since he's been sort of raised in status and given his own show and that, he has become an absolute flipping knob end, hasn't he? And then my old mate across the sea, the Nobel Peace Prize. Not the Nobel, it is the Noble, or the Nobble in his case, Nob, K-N-O-B, then in brackets on the end, E-L. I mean, his latest thing, isn't it? It's just to talk complete shit and then delete it and claim sarcasm. He deleted them. He posted 3 tweets last night, which I'd actually seen before the news broke, about the people shouldn't, journalists shouldn't get the Nobel prizes and the committee should sit and strip them off. I think he fucked it up. I think he should be talking about Pulitzer prizes, but why let small details get in the way, Donnie? And then he deleted them, apparently, I read this morning, and tried to claim that it was all just a bit of sarcasm. The guy has completely and utterly lost it. He is absolutely flailing about now. And as somebody's quite rightly pointed out, there's still a danger that he gets voted in another 4 years. It is truly, truly frightening stuff. I keep saying it's nothing to do with politics, just the man himself. I find it staggering. It's that cult like, I said to somebody text me the other day, I can't remember who it was, and it was an FTS member, and I said it's the cult like status that the doctors and things don't just say, I can't put up with this, they just carry on and stand as if it's normal. That's the bit I find staggering, the sort of hypnotic effect he has on others, that they don't just say, hang on a minute, mate, you are talking complete shit. He just lies, talks bollocks, and then just pretends he hasn't and moves on. Staggering. Right, what haven't I done? Done the joke, done the book. We've done recipes and baking, done the stat. That, ladies and gentlemen, is probably hinting then that I am done. We're waiting to hear from Malta, so I'll wait and I'll let you know how that is, and I'll hopefully things will return to normal. But that is my priority at the minute, so other people who are bleating about other things not done just have to wait a minute. But the calls and that I meant to be making this week, and webinars, stuff like that, I still plan to do, as it is pending any disaster. It will be business as normal. Yeah, that's it. Right, have a lovely Monday, or whatever it is, day 99 of the lockdown, whatever day we're flipping on. Stay safe, keep doing it. I see somebody sent me a picture this morning about fucking 200 people queuing outside B&Q. Why? What do you desperately need that badly in B&Q? It's meant to be essential shopping. What could you possibly need that you're going to go and queue up outside B&Q that can't wait a little while? Just don't get it. I mean, I don't know. It drives me mad. I shake my head every day. I mean, you think back a few weeks, and it is only a few weeks. I know it seems like longer, but whatever it was, think back to 4 weeks ago when people were bombarding supermarkets and buying 42 tons of toilet rolls and stuff like that. What if they feel a bit stupid now? Absolutely ridiculous. We've had a delivery. They haven't even approved Sam's thing yet on the... because she had to register on a government website for the vulnerable. So I've managed to get a delivery slot on Sainsbury's every week the last 3 weeks without any of that, even just a normal delivery slot. People panicking, rushing about. I wonder if they do think and go, there's probably people sat with hordes of toilet roll going, what do I buy all this for? Told you not to buy that, Dave. Useless. Right, I'm waffling. I am killing another couple of minutes. Just talking to a sister, I don't want to get dragged into it. Right, I'm going to go and do a bit of work. I'm going to go and do a bit of Excel, wait to hear from Malta, and I will speak to you good people tomorrow morning. I've got to try and be on my off this podcast. No, she's flipping, trying to take over. All right, guys, have a lovely day, and I will see you or speak to you tomorrow.